For the scripture lesson this morning, I chose, for me, the greatest psalm of thanks, Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me, and I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in mortals. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surround me. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They blazed like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but He did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank You that You have answered me and become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech You, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech You, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless You from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us life. Binds the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to You. You are my God, I will extol You. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Thus ends our lesson for today. May God add His blessing to this reading and to our understanding. Today's celebration of Thanksgiving is different. With the need to keep our loved ones safe. Most of us will not think much about pilgrims or the Native Americans unless you have a young child who dresses up as such at school. But I want to encourage you for just a few moments together here as Christians to think about the pilgrims and the Native Americans. Not for any of the usual reasons. The Pilgrim Puritans who traveled on the Mayflower and landed on Cape Cod were not American patriots or American capitalists or even believers in the freedom of religion as we typically understand it today. First Thanksgiving is only partly about the feast that those Mayflower pilgrims celebrated 399 years ago, in 1621. We don't have much reliable information about that 1621 Thanksgiving. relying on a few small number of early and often brief accounts. There were roughly 50 settlers present, the bereaved survivors of a terrible first winter that claimed the lives of more than half of those who sailed on the Mayflower. They could hardly have been positive about their small colony's future prospects. That the pilgrims could celebrate it all in this setting was a testimony to both their human resilience and their heavenly hope. In late September or early October, the pilgrims celebrated their recently gathered harvest. One of the settlers, Edward Winslow, recorded that they ate some kind of fowl, most likely to be goose or duck rather than turkey. Geese were much easier to shoot. The meal may have also included fish, shellfish, perhaps eel. And the settlers would also have used local vegetables, such as turnips and carrots. Nor did they sit across from their native counterparts at a big, long table. Instead, we should picture an outdoor feast in which almost everyone was sitting on the ground, eating with their hands. About 90 Wampanoag men and their chief, Massasoit, were present. Now, we have to admit, of course, the relationship between the Native Americans and the pilgrims was at best tense and distrustful. For the pilgrims, this was not a holy day of thanksgiving, a long and solemn day of prayer and preaching and worship. Instead, that first Thanksgiving was really a harvest festival, a harvest celebration. And it probably included military drills and recreations, probably foot races and shooting contests and the like. Later generations of Americans temporarily managed to turn Thanksgiving into a church-centered day of worship and thanks, which eventually faded into an increased focus on both large family meals and football games. So what are we as Christians to make of this stripped-down, unromantic version of the first Thanksgiving? Now, don't get me wrong, I don't advocate that we exchange our turkey for eel or substitute turnips for sweet potatoes. But what might we learn from the early pilgrims? The answer, I think, has little to do with the pilgrims' economic or political ideas, and not all that much to do with the intricacies of their Calvinistic theology. Instead, I think the lesson lies in the idea of pilgrimage. The separatist Puritans had given up on the Anglican Church, and because of the religious persecution, they fled their native land for the religious toleration of life in Holland. Eventually, they left Holland because they feared they couldn't raise like-minded children in a culture they considered too licentious and tolerant. And because it was incredibly difficult to eke out a living. The pilgrims, in short, were pilgrims before they became colonists. Theirs was a spiritual and not primarily a geographical pilgrimage. They were a people on a spiritual journey first. The pilgrims, despite any of their faults, help us remember the biblical message that we must set our minds on things above and lay up treasures in heaven. The pilgrims encourage us to swim against the tide of a materialistic and present-minded culture that does its most to distract us from the inevitabilities of aging and disease and death. We have to remember that we are strangers and aliens, even in this land we love. As Christians, We must remember while we are in this world, we are not of this world. That is our ultimate reality. And the one way that we have forgotten that ultimate reality is by distorting the pilgrim's story, holding them with modern American values and making the future United States, not heaven, their true promised land. It is important that we run from this distortion of history and embrace this flawed but inspirational group of studies. Today, I hope that you will take a moment to think about how blessed we are, even in the midst of this pandemic. And take a moment to thank God for the heritage of those Mayflower pilgrims and their faith. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day and for this very moment. You are beyond our imagination, a beautiful mystery, and yet you are always close to us. You whisper into our souls and speak to our hearts. It is in the stillness, Lord, when we slow ourselves down, that we sense your presence. Loving God, walking step by step with you, may we be ever more aware of your love for us, and for our calling to love one another. It is when we connect to you that we can also extend your love and grace to others. We lift up to you those whose hearts are burdened, those who are struggling and hurting with physical and emotional challenges, those dealing with uncertainty and anxiety, and those who are grieving losses. Lord, fill them with your peace, the peace that this world cannot give. Dear God of wisdom, you know us better than we know ourselves. Continue to teach and direct us, Lord. Help us to live selflessly, and empower us to live compassionately in service and action. Lord, interrupt us. Unsettle us, slow us down. May we be more aware and mindful of your love. God of mercy, open our hearts to your will as we work together with you. Master, we offer you the lives we live each day, where we work, where we play. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever it is we do, help us to honor you. We offer this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.